I don't know about you, but I've been pretty disgusted with watching any form of the news this week, or really any form of the news in the last several years. We live in a deeply troubled world, a deeply troubled land, deeply troubled community. The news events that have been taking place on any given week, in any given month, in any given locality are alarming, heartbroken, devastating, sad, and sometimes they just make you mad. Seriously. Who would have ever thought that we'd see an event in which first responders are being attacked? They should be respected, not attacked. Amen. Who would ever think that Christians gathering in for a Bible study would be attacked and killed by someone that was in that same Bible study? Who would ever think that families would be torn apart and by vicious acts, unkind acts, selfish acts? Who would ever think that defenseless people and children would be exploited? The situation this week of the three little girls, I believe in Culloden County, that they did find alive. Many people were praying over that night, Lord, help them find those little girls. Innocent. And they found them and they've been turned over to DHS to take care of them. And countless people wander aimlessly. Have folks living under bridges and in their cars, and folks in need being neglected and overlooked. And sometimes folks just basically, you know, put their glasses down and look over them rather than reaching out their arms to them. In the political arena, no one's innocent. They're all bad. The rhetoric has ramped up to dangerous levels, and in the political arena, it seems like the candidates and the media just want to kind of keep adding flames, fuel to the fire to see the flames go more and more. And if one shows a weakness or a weakness is exploited or one's attacked, it's like the others are become like sharks and they circle around. I know that there's blood in the water and we're going to attack. And as you go into the voting booth in November, there would probably be one that I think that a lot of people would like to vote for. None of the above. But that won't be an option that's on the ballots. Between now and then, we need to pray. Lord, we don't know who that you have your hand on to lead our land or the other lands of the world. We don't know who you have your hand on that's going to be able to take us out of this malaise and lead us in a way that's pleasing to you. You see, it's pretty disgusting when we have leaders who pick and choose whose lives they'll value and whose they won't, whose funerals they'll show up to and whose they won't. Our land, our world, our communities, our families seem like they've all lost their moral compass. And it's disgusting. God's disgusted. Guess what? To God, all lives matter. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Young and old, rich and poor, He cares about them all. And in the midst of this malaise and in the midst of this time of crisis and upheaval in our land, God is both calling us to Himself and calling us to make a difference for Him in our world. This is not the first time that the world's been in calamity. This is not the first time that the world's been turned in and against Himself. Jesus left the throne room of heaven to come into a world that was much like what we have today. It was a world in which there was a party that was in power, Rome. There was a forced peace that was called Pax Romana, which means that they had the infrastructure and they had the military might that they just kept the rest of the world in check. And no one wanted to take on Rome. So it opened up some flexibility that you could travel about and you could trade, but each little pocket of people had their own way, and there was turmoil that was going on, and there was treachery that was going on. That world, that day, that time needed Jesus. Our world, our time, our day needs Jesus as well. And I believe God would have us look to Jesus and His summation of the law on this day, our day, and any day. Lord, how do we handle this? How do we respond to what's going on around us? How do we respond when we're mistreated? How do we respond when we see hurting people and abused people? How do we respond in a way that's pleasing to you? Well, the way that we respond, he summed up in what's recorded in Matthew and Mark, and don't put it up just yet, Jay, but it's what's known as the greatest commandment or the two greatest commandments. In chapter 12 of Mark, I like Mark because Mark is kind of the gospel writer who's like a reporter. He's standing there with a microphone in his hand, and it's look over his shoulder, it's what's happening. The first nine verse chapters point towards Jesus and who he is and what he's done. After chapter 9, chapter 10, and going on to the end of the book, it points towards Jesus' passion. When we come to the passage that we'll be looking at here in a moment, we're in that section where we're looking at Jesus' passion. The setting here is Jesus has already made it into Jerusalem for Passover week. In the first part of the passage, we see that he tells a parable of the tenants, in which a landowner had bought a piece of property and put a vineyard on it. And in that vineyard, he had cultivated it and he rented it out to folks who farmed the land and were to pay him rent at the end of the season. He sent a servant to collect, and that servant they killed. He sent another servant, and that servant they beat up and sent back. He sent another they killed. Finally, he says, I'll send my son. They'll respect my son. But as you know, they did not respect his son. They killed his son. In Mark 12, at the end of verse 11, we see the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And the Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Jesus went from there to going into a give and take with the Pharisees and the Herodians concerning paying taxes. Oh, we're about 1 month away. Aren't you blessed? Pulling all your tax information together. Jesus was asked about taxes. He was asked about money. He was asked about who do we give allegiance to, and there was a coin there that had an image of Caesar on it, and he picked it up and he says, give to Caesar what is to Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Good advice for all of us. We need to pay our taxes. You don't want to forget paying your taxes. We need to give God what's His. You don't want to forget that. And guess what? Everything's His. You're His in all that you have. Then the Sadducees wanted to ask Jesus a question about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't really believe in the resurrection. But they asked Jesus this question. Going back to the Old Testament law, there was a thing in which if a man had been married and his wife did not have any children and he died, and the law was that his next brother was supposed to stand in line and come and take her in as his wife and bear children, and they would become keep the name of the oldest son going, or the oldest son of that family. And they repeated this for about three or four generations in their example to ask Jesus. And they summed it up and says, when it's all over with after the resurrection in heaven, whose wife will she be? Jesus' response summed up was saying in Mark 12:27, He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You've been badly mistaken. A lot of times we want to change the subject when it gets to be something that's difficult, something that we don't want to deal with. And here Jesus saying, we've got to handle difficult things in difficult times. So here the fourth time in Matthew, they ask one of the teachers of the law. He's not a lawyer, he's a scholar. He's a teacher, to ask the question that we see in our text this morning, Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which one's the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second is like unto this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." "Well," said the teacher, "you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other like him." Now, catch it just a second. That is funny. For a teacher to say to Jesus, "You're right." And he wasn't saying you're right like, "Yeah, I believe you." He's saying you're right. "Oh, you got it right on the law. Good for you." Let's pick it up a little bit. Verse 33. "To love him with all of your heart and understanding and will and your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Jesus can handle the difficult questions that we ask. And finally, you get to the point to where you get smart enough and you realize, you know what? I don't need to keep throwing up questions. I just need to accept the fact that he's the answer. He's the answer. So one of them asked a question, "What's the greatest commandment?" They were enamored with laws. They had lots and lots and lots of laws. Think of it. Over the years, the rabbis had taken the original law of God and they had expounded on it to where instead of 10 commandments, instead of one Shema, that love the Lord thy God, he is one, they had expanded that list to where now there were 613 separate letters in the Hebrew text, or what we know as the Decalogue, the 10 commandments, and the book of Numbers. So they had 613 laws that are in the Pentateuch. That's a long list, folks. The scribes further divided these 613 laws into ones that were in the affirmative and ones that were in the negative, holding that there were 248 affirmative laws, one for every part of the human body. There's a positive part to every part of your body. Don't get too excited and say amen. But there was 365 negative laws. There was a negative law for every day of the year. These laws were debated and argued back and forth, and scribes and Pharisees and Herodians and Sadducees would all sit around and debate the law. But for those of us that are common folks that we got to make a living and we got to get through the day and through the week, we'd be tied up in knots. Because it was so very simple, because the multitude of laws, that you could keep one law and it would cause you to break another law. And someone in authority would come and say to you, "Aha, you're breaking this law." They wouldn't dwell on the fact that you're keeping that law. They'd dwell on the fact that you're breaking this law, and you'd be penalized and punished, and barriers would go up between you and worship. Jesus' answer to the question was, let's go back to basics. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6:5. Without hesitation, Jesus quoted that verse, which is the Shema, the great law of all. Love the God, Lord your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And it's in that section of the Shema that is verses 4 to 9 of Deuteronomy 6. This would be a passage and this would be a pattern that was known by every Jew family, by every Jewish male. He knew the responsibilities that were wrapped up in this. Listen to the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments I give you today to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk with them when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Tie them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and of your gates. Jesus, in quoting that Old Testament pattern, which was the pattern of worship and the pattern, there's Sunday school class that's to be held in each family. Let your family know every day who God is and how we're to honor Him and praise Him and how we're to live for Him, how we're to put Him first in all. He's saying to them that the greatest commandment of all is the commandment that God gave to Moses. We're to love God with all of our soul, mind, and heart. We're to love Him with all of our personal being, which is our heart, with all of our energy, which is our mind, with all of our emotion, which is our soul. Love Him completely. Don't love Him half-heartedly. Don't love Him partially. Don't just give Him lip service. Don't do an act that others might see that it'd make it look like you're loving Him. Really love Him from the inside. And how will you know if someone really loves Him? They'll obey and keep His commandments. Their life will be wrapped up in Him, and His life will flow out of them. And it will be something that will be pleasing in the Lord's sight. I don't know about you, but the lights may be out there, but the air conditioning's off right at this spot. Precious Lord, how we need You. These Ten Commandments in John 14:15, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. We need to put God first in our lives. Amen? In all that He would do, He needs to be first. He doesn't need to be somewhere down the line. If He's not first, He's not in there at all. Lord, I want You to know that You're first. And let me know that I know that You're first. He will, if you do. Lord, let us know. We start in the basic. We got to get this vertical relationship right. Amen. Jesus goes on to say that we need to go not just in the vertical, we need to go in the horizontal relationship to love your neighbor as yourself. He could have gone all day long without saying that. For the scribes and Pharisees who represented the Jewish people, who were the go-betweens between them and God, they didn't want to hear that because they didn't practice that. Oh, they were devoted, but they thought themselves to be above the fray. Put it to you like this. Have you ever lived in a place that you had some neighbors move in down the street or across the street that you felt a little bit funny about? Oh, or maybe you've been the neighbor that's moved in the street and people felt funny about you. I can just see him now driving down Candle. Preacher lives there. They were very quick to put up walls and barriers between them and one another. There was almost a sense in which they felt like that they were better than others around them. And if people didn't measure up to their standard, we're just simply not going to accept them. We'll put up with them, we'll condone them, we'll do with them what we have to do to a minimum. But we won't really have any kind of relationship with them. We'll keep them at arm's length. Our world does not need to be kept at arm's length. Our world needs to be welcomed into our lives and hearts. Amen. Even those that are unlovable. How do we draw it down even closer? I don't know if you've ever gone to... I can't walk around. I don't know if you've ever gone to a political rally or not. I have somewhere in the past. But you don't go to a political rally to get into a fist fight. You don't go to a political rally to get shouting at folks that are in there that disagree with you. You don't stand outside of a political rally and threaten the cops. You just don't do that. And you also don't run for office and threaten to sue those that are standing up exercising their right for free speech. There's enough blame to go all the way around. You don't be other political operatives running for office who all want to gang up on one guy and one guy wants to gang up them, and then you got somebody sitting in the White House that just kind of casts aspersions on all of it. It's all sick and sad. God help us, we have lost our bearings. We have totally lost our bearings. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, and this is the greatest commandment. But the second is like unto this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? When you get up and you look in the mirror, you go, ha-ha. I know, we all have those times when we look in the mirror. Oh, no. I'm going to buy a shorter mirror. I'm going to turn it sideways. I'm going to shrink it down. And then you get those magnifiers on them, and those magnifiers, oh, I'm going to go back to that mirror. Maybe I'll take my glasses off when I look in the mirror. Oh, I look really good now. But we look out at ourselves, and we might say, oh, I'm okay. But we look at our neighbor, and we want their faults. You know, I don't like the color they painted their house. How come them to have a car like that? Their motorcycle's really loud. Why is it that their kids want to ride bicycles in our cul-de-sac? Hey, it's cool. I like it. The other day, I left to get out and to go to an appointment. And little boys across the street, grandkids, they were outside playing there in the cul-de-sac, and the littlest one, he was about 4 years old, maybe. He said something to me, and I heard, are you? But I didn't hear the rest of it. My hearing's not as good as it used to be. And I said, can you say it again? I didn't quite understand what you said. And his mother said, he said, are you going to go? In other words, am I going to go somewhere right now? I said, oh, yes, I'm going to go. And he said, well, bye-bye. I pulled out of the cul-de-sac waving at him and driving down there. And I said, you know, they're the cutest little kids. They got the biggest smiles, and they have fun riding their tricycles and playing ball there in the cul-de-sac. They're part of God's creation. They're my neighbor. Not that I've done anything better than anybody else, but I'm supposed to love them because God loves them. And a little four-year-old showed me that he loved his neighbor. He wasn't scared of me. He wanted to talk to me. I've gone out to get mail, the mailbox, and, you know, they've given me high fives before. Even thrown a ball with them. Another neighbor run down the street a little bit as a teenage girl, and, you know, she's waved to Susan and been really friendly to Susan. Others, that Susan being a teacher in the area, everybody knows who Mrs. Blankenship is. We can't go through our neighborhood or can't go into a store without Mrs. Blankenship, Mrs. Blankenship, Mrs. Blankenship. And I think it's cool. Not bragging on Susan, but, you know, kids ought to know, they're pretty astute. They can tell when someone cares for them and is wanting to bring out the best. Are kids around you saying your name, or neighbors around you that, hey, they want to talk to you over the fence? They want to come to your house. They want to just smile and wave at you rather than just turning around like this and walking away and hoping that you didn't notice? Those are our neighbors who are the kids and so on. They're the easy ones to love. But there are also those who are our neighbors who carry picket signs and who shout obscenities and who root for somebody that maybe we're not rooting for and who are voting for someone that we may not vote for and who are acting crazy. Who are showing disrespect when we think they ought to be showing respect. Our neighbors are even people like the crazy people of a certain church that wants to show up and picket at military funerals. They shouldn't do that. That's not good. But they are our neighbors as far as Scripture says. We're to love them, to pray for them, to be Jesus to them. Jesus, as he was summing up the Didache here in the two greatest commandments, the first one, to love thy God with all thy whole soul, mind, and strength, and that zeroes in on the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And the other word, to love thy neighbor as thyself, takes the next six, and it summarizes all of them, to love thy neighbor as thyself. What kind of a neighbor are you? Are you one that as you drive through your neighborhood that you're praying for the houses that you pass? Because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors or what their needs might be. Oh, they might come out to get the mail and they've got a smile on their face or they're walking a little bit haggard, but you don't know the challenges that they're facing and they could be down and your prayers could make a difference. Or your smile can make a difference. Kind heart turns away wrath, I was told. In Jesus' day and time, as he was talking to them, guys who think that they had it all right, and they were in positions of authority, that they were supposed to be the ones who sat in judgment. And Jesus said to them that it all boils down to these two things. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Lord, you mean love the ones that are easy to love? Oh, I got that. Love them all. Oh, some people it's easy to spend time with and you want to be with them and you want to relax with them, and others it's difficult to be around them. Lord, give me the grace and mercy that I'm willing to go in where I feel uncomfortable to show you, but also give me the smarts not to stick my nose in where it's not my business. Amen? But as some would think that, okay, I do good. I've been a good neighbor. I've been helpful to these. I've been helpful to others. You know, I gave money to a beggar. I gave somebody lunch. I was in the Starbucks line, and I paid ahead and paid for the cup of coffee and the person behind me. That's all well and good. But that goodness is not godliness. That goodness is not going to get you to heaven. You got to have the first part first. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength. And then your neighbor as yourself. Our world needs witnesses. Folks, our world needs prayer warriors. We're in a mess. We're in a world of hurt. And I'm looking at folks that know the answer and are part of the answer. And God's looking at us too. He's asking the question, can I count on you? Can I count on you to vote this year? To vote that God's first, others second, and self's last? Can I count on you that you vote that I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart and I'm going to love my neighbors myself? And those that are on the firing line and the helpline, like we got Naz that's here this morning, pray for, he's got a tough job. And Mac has a tough job. And our firefighters have tough jobs. Pray for them. God, keep your hedge of protection around them. I couldn't do what they do. Keep them safe. Thank you, Naz. May I see Mary? Is that Mary? Well, time dark, can't see. That's where you usually sit. She's a nurse at the hospital. Sometimes that's fun days. Sometimes that's real tough days. I got family members in the medical field. Pray for Mary. She's on the front line of defense of people that are at very vulnerable spots. And some, when they're handling vulnerable times in their lives, handle it really easy breezy. Others are really difficult to deal with. Others wind up being really sad. Help her that she could be Jesus in that situation. I could go all the way around the sanctuary this morning to every single one of us. There's people that we're going to come in contact with this week. And they will see lived out in our life or not whether we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and whether we love our neighbors ourselves. As we go into their homes, as we go into their lives, as we run into one another at stores, we see each other on the streets of life, may they see that we followed what Jesus said is the standard and the pattern. The key is love and respect God and love and respect His creation. He created folks for a reason. I happen to think that when He created me, He kind of cackled. One day, I hope that cackle turns into a smile as He welcomes me into His arm. It's awful easy to look at someone else and say, God, did you create that? Oh, yeah, He did. And He smiled when He did it. And He wants us to love them. And they look at us and they probably ask the same question, God, did you create them? Yeah, He did. And He wants you to love them. Church, during these days, God is asking us to pray, pray, pray. To live for the Lord and love Him with everything that we've got and to love our neighbor. Don't be scared to reach out to him. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You remember the TV show Happy Days? They wanted Fonzie to comb his hair in the mirror. And he goes, hey! It's awful easy to look in the mirror and say, hey! And just happy with yourself. But look at the world around you and the neighbors. Go, hey! Love them too. Love them more. Love them for Him.